You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
We're continuing week two of our Start Cheating series, and I have a question for you. I need the house lights for this too, but I need to know, if you are a mother and you have two or more children in this room right now, okay? If you are a mother with two or more children in this room right now, would you please raise your hand? All right, mother with two or more children. Oh, this will be perfect. Now, wait, I need to clarify, too. Two of those children, they must be at least able to walk. So infants don't quite work for us right now. All right, good. Could I have the mothers that just raised their hand? You're not going to get whipped cream on your face. You're not going to have to do anything that's insane. But if I could have all the mothers that raised their hand, please come over here. All right? And then all the children of those mothers, please come over here. Okay, so children of those mothers, oh, this is perfect. All right, now children over there, now listen, this is a crazy angry mob going on right now, so we need to be safe. All right, mothers, children, okay, wonderful, wonderful, and this is just because I needed to pick some sort of random statistic. Okay, now, you guys want to beat your moms at something? Yeah. No, it's Mother's Day. You're supposed to say, no, Mom, it's your day. You can win. Okay, it doesn't matter. What we're going to do is play a little healthy tug of war. So, now, it's very important that we're like in a garage. It's probably the stupidest thing ever to do in a garage with a cement floor and all that. But I need the moms to come on up here and just grab part of the rope. Now, this has to be in the middle. Moms, get part of the rope. You can put your hand. Don't pull yet. Hello. It's this way. Come this way. Now, okay. Everybody get a hand on, or put a hand on someone's shoulder. You know, you're sympathizing with them. Okay, now, kids, come on up here. Wow. Everybody grab. There's more rope here. It's going to be in the middle there. Okay, grab. There's more rope up here. Don't pull. Don't pull. And there's plenty more rope. Everybody needs to be on the rope. Come on, children. Did I call you girls? Did I say girls? I see kids? Okay. All right. A little bit more. This got to go this way. Everybody needs to walk to my that way. A second. Okay. Good. Okay. Now, is everybody in? Yeah. Okay. Now, you guys, why don't we do this? I can't even see. There's a chair. Okay. Why don't you guys swing around this way so you can kind of go back towards that ladder so that when you pull. Okay. All right. Holy cow. Can we have a camera for this? This is awesome. All right. All right. Okay. So, these are the moms. These are the kids. Just out of curiosity, anybody, like, think the moms are going to win? Oh, yeah, okay, a couple. And then the kids. Oh, no. Let me feel it. There's no support in this room for you guys. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's okay. They're not preparing you for now. They're preparing you for later, but that's next week. Okay. All right. So, without killing any of your children... You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're going to pull that way. Now listen, there's little ones, I can't even see, there's little people at the end there. Please, bigger people in the front, don't trample the little people at the end, okay? The moms say yes. The moms are like, what in the world is this guy doing? He's so stupid. But that's okay, a little. You'll be all right. All right. Okay, now the goal is, this is the flag. It's got to come this way a little bit more. It's got to come this way. Yeah, it's right about almost perfectly in the middle right there. It's your perspective. It's your angle. Definitely is your angle. So when I say go, you guys need to pull this flag past this cone here to win. Are you catching or are you helping? Okay, good. I'm down with that either way. All right, and then ladies, moms, you need to pull your side of the flag over here. Now, this is a 100% tested rope. I pulled it myself like this, so it shouldn't break. All right? Are you ready? Now, ladies, this is kind of fairly obvious, but if the children start to go, like, stop pulling, okay? You do not need to drag them across the floor. Okay. All right. It's still a little bit crooked. Here, we got to center it more. Guys, we need to go this way a little bit more. Come this way. Mom's a little bit off. Okay, that's about right. Almost dead on center. It's your perspective. Definitely. Okay, on your mark. You got them back there. Get set. Pull. And don't break the rope. Okay. He's all right. He's all right. Oh, and that was it. Okay. The kids won. And I only lynched my own son. It's all right. It's all right. You okay? Yeah, he's fine. Just rub some dirt on it. All right. Go ahead. Have a seat. Thank you, moms. Kids, now that you're all riled up and hot and sweaty and crying, go back to ignition and you're going to have some fun back there with your men helpers that are working with you today. So, is he all right? It wasn't all the way around his neck, I don't think. So, good, thank you. That's excellent. Thank you so much. So, little tug of rope, little crying. I mean, come on, what game do you play with kids where you don't end up crying? Usually it's the kids aren't the crying ones, but anyway. So, this series we've been talking about, and this, we're going to, you know, that was just fun. And sorry about the heat in here, by the way. We totally were not expecting the weather to suddenly change from mid-December weather to mid-July weather in the course of 3 days. So by next week, we should be able to get the air conditioners running for that. But anyway, what am I talking about? I'm teaching something. Yes, start cheating. This series we're doing, we talked last week, we kind of set up the whole series about this idea of making choices now for the sake of later. And last week, we looked at this passage about making the most of our time, making wise choices because these days are evil. And taking the advantage of every opportunity that we have because of that. So we're talking throughout this series about making choices now, the hard choices now, that will benefit you later. And that's going to kind of tie into everything that we're going to do. And so here's what I want you to know. I want you to understand, I'm talking today, there are men in this room. And there are children in this room. There are people that are not moms in this room. And what I have to say actually will apply everywhere, but I'm going to speak to the moms because today's Mother's Day. And since I know everything about what it means to be a mother, from childbirth to raising kids, I know the whole thing. So I'm going to be an expert, be able to speak to you today, to all the moms, because I've been through it all. I know what it's like. I was totally there when my kids were born. So, I don't actually come in here and do any work. I'm at home all day with my children, just investing every last moment with them. So I'm able to tell you from my perspective, actually, that's not true, obviously, but I want to share a little bit with you moms about what the Word of God has to say about your job and what you do and all of that. So everybody else is welcome to listen, and later there's going to be a spot where you can kind of be definitely an active participant. But for the most part, I'm talking to moms, so don't feel like, oh, this has nothing, you know, you got it? Good, it's Mother's Day, get over it. Okay, so here's the point that I want you to get today. And this is for the moms, but the point is, start cheating your schedule. Investing in your relationship with Jesus now will make you a better mom later. Start cheating your schedule. Investing in your relationship with Jesus now will make you a better mom later. Now, later could be 5, 10, 20 years down the road. It could be 5, 10 minutes down the road. Okay, but I want you to get this idea that the importance of investing in your relationship now with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus now, will make you a better mom later. And so I want to tell a story that if you grew up in church, dude, this story is one of the ones that's kind of always been beaten into me by, not in a bad way, but just it's one of these things you kind of hear it over and over and over. And I decided to beat it into you. But it's a very familiar story, and again, if you grew up in church, you might have heard this a lot. If you've never heard this before, that's cool. This will be the first time. But I just want you to kind of rethink and just kind of listen as I talk through this, because there are some things about this story that we automatically just jump right into and assume because of that. So it's about two ladies, and Jesus. He's kind of important. Two ladies named Martha and Mary. And these are sisters. And it comes from the book or the Gospel of Luke. And Luke is Luke's version of the events that took place in Jesus' life. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Luke chapter 10. If you have the YouVersion app, You can tap on Luke, tap on 10, and then if you want to tap on verse, depending on what version of your app you have, you can go to verse 38. It's also going to be on the screen here as well. But this story of Martha and Mary is, again, probably something you've heard a lot if you grew up in church, in Sunday school and things like that. But I want to talk about it. So here's Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, it says that Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Now, let me just clarify that right before this, Jesus was talking. They actually just sent out the 72 missionaries. He sent out 72 followers of him to go out and spread the message. And then someone was talking to him, well, who's my neighbor? How do I know? And he shares the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, which many of you are familiar with. Even if you never grew up in church, you probably heard that idea, that concept. And so they're traveling. They're on their way, is what it says here. And he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Very nice. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha, whose home this is, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him. She's like, wait a second. I invited Jesus into my home, and here she is sitting down, not doing anything. She goes to Jesus and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha is upset because Mary's just sitting around listening to Jesus. And Jesus says, Martha, 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 Martha. Stupid Martha. No. Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to understand, before we get into what Jesus is talking about, what's going on here, I mean, this is not a very fair situation as we look at things. You know, like, what? So Martha has to do all the work, while Mary just gets to sit there and do nothing, and then Jesus says Mary's doing the better thing? What is that all about? I want to talk about what that is here. So there's some things that I want to draw out as we look at this passage, as we look at the story of Mary and Martha. And again, if you grew up knowing it, just kind of clear your mind of that a little bit, because what we're going to be talking about is maybe going to change a little bit of that. But I want to talk about this idea of good, better, and best. Because it's important to understand that good is good. I know last week I blew your mind with things like hard work might require work, and sometimes sacrifice takes sacrifice. And I know those are like, whoa. Well, I want to just clarify another thing, that good is still good. Okay, that's important. And better is still good. And best is still good. So in terms of like the spectrum of like evil and bad and good over here, good, better, and best are still on this side. They're not on the evil side. That's important to understand. Does that make sense? Yes, it does make sense, okay? Good is still good. Okay, because I want to talk about this idea of good, better, and best, because that's what's going on in this passage. And again, if you grew up in church, like, we learned that Martha was a jerk. Man, what kind of Martha? Oh, you're not a Martha, are you? I'm just worshiping with Jesus. I'm certainly not a Martha. Like, it just became this thing as Martha was this awful, awful person. And I want to break through some of that, because that's not the case in this story. Martha was not an awful person. So, here's the thing. The first thing we see in this story, and did I do this backwards? No, I'm good. Okay. The first thing we see in the story is that Mary was listening to Jesus. That's what she was doing. That was Mary's job. That was Mary's role in this particular story. And again, going back to the passage, just looking at it individually, it says, as Jesus and the disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. This really means, I mean, she welcomed. It wasn't like they banged on the door, let us in, let us in. She's like, oh, Jesus is in town. His disciples, come on in. Please, please, my home is your home. Whatever you need, I will get for you. I am here to serve you. So it was a good thing. She invited them into her home. And it says she had this sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Now, you need to understand, too, this word sat is a reflexive verb in Greek, which reflexive means you do it yourself. So she intentionally sat herself down. It wasn't like she was lounging on the couch, you know, with the remote. Jesus walked in like, oh, hey, how's it going?
And she continued to sit.
Now, this is something intentional. Jesus and the disciples come in. Jesus starts teaching, and she goes and sits down at his feet. She made it her intention, her purpose there. So don't get the idea that this was an accident that Mary happened to be on the earth. She had a broken leg and she was down or something like that. Mary made the choice to sit down at Jesus' feet. And it says she was listening to what Jesus said, to what he said. This was an active thing. This isn't just like, you know, she's got her iPod in one ear and then she's kind of like picking up some things on the other side. Like, she is actively listening to Jesus. She is absorbing. She is taking in everything that he said, his logos, which is a huge Greek word that means tons of awesome things in the Bible, including the fact that in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was the Logos. Jesus was the Word. And so Mary is listening to everything. She is soaking in. She's absorbing. She is an active listener to what Jesus is saying, to the words that he is saying, to the truth that he is teaching, because she wants to take it in. So she is listening and connecting with Jesus in that way. She's active in the process. That's what she's doing. So Mary's listening to Jesus. Now, on the other side, Martha was doing ministry. Martha was doing ministry. And this is the important thing. Good, better, best. Because what happened in the passage is it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And the word, and this is really crazy, right? The word preparations, again, if you grew up in church, you heard like, well, Martha, all she wanted to do was her own thing, and she was working, busy, 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 and not actually caring that Jesus was in her house. Well, the Greek word here, this idea that Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made, the Greek word is a Greek word diakonos, which is the word for ministry. It's also the word, depending on your church circles where you've grown up, if you've been in church, it's the same word for deacon. Because Martha was serving. She was doing ministry for the sake of Jesus. She wasn't just doing her own thing. She wasn't just being a busybody. She was serving. She was doing something that was good. That's important. It wasn't she was doing something that was bad or evil. She was doing a good thing. She was diakonosing. She was deaconessing. She was serving. She was ministering. It's the same word. It's translated to ministry, to serve. That's what she was doing. It was a good thing. And then she came to Jesus. She said to him and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the, same word again, the ministry all by myself? Tell her to help me. So here you've got Martha upset because Mary isn't helping her do ministry. She's upset because Mary isn't serving with her. And Martha is doing a word that later in the New Testament, we're all called to be deacons to people. We are all called to serve them, to minister to those people as they have needs. It's the same word. So Martha is doing a good thing here. Now, the word distracted. Here's the Greek word for it. I'm not telling you because I don't have it here. I didn't write it down. But I'm sure it's a really fun word. It has lots of auias at the end of it. But the Greek word for distracted means to be pulled away. It means to be pulled away. And see, so Martha is busy doing ministry and she's being pulled away from Jesus. Actually, I should go this way. She is being pulled away from her time, her relationship, her listening to Jesus, because she is doing a good thing. Because she is doing ministry. Get that? So Martha isn't doing something wrong. She's not an evil, self-absorbed, arrogant woman. She's serving. But is being pulled away because of her ministry, being pulled away from her connection with Jesus. So, that was good. Then Jesus responded, of course, because she says, tell her to help me. And Jesus says that Mary chose better. Jesus said that Mary chose better. He didn't say that what Martha was doing was wrong or was evil or was anything like that. He says, and this is what he says in the passage, he says, Martha, Martha, and that double repeating thing. He didn't stutter. It was just, it's a sign of emotion, a sign of like, oh, Martha, Don't you get it? Do you understand? You are worried and upset, again, pulled away. You are distracted. You are being pulled away because of many things. But only a few things you really need to worry about. Only a few things are needed. And he says, you know what? Only one. Only one thing as a woman, as a person that has Jesus in her house, only one thing you need to worry about. And Mary has chosen that. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So there's a choice here. There's a choice before you, Martha. There are some things that are good. There are some things that are better. And there are some things that are the best thing. And you need to decide. They're not bad. But if we're talking about making wise choices, we talked about that last week. It's not necessarily a choice between right or wrong. But is this the wise thing to do? And Jesus is saying, Martha, the wise thing to do is to do what Mary's doing. Is to sit and listen at the feet of Jesus. Is to sit and build your relationship with, this is Jesus talking, build your relationship with me. That is the best thing. That is what Mary has chosen. That's why it's better than what you have chosen, even though what you have chosen is wrong. Because you're being pulled away from that by these other things. You're being pulled away from listening to me, being connected to me, by a good thing, by ministry. And Jesus says, look, Mary has made the wise choice. Mary is the one that chose better. And so that's what's going on here. There's this idea of good, better, best. Mary was listening to Jesus. Martha was doing ministry, but Jesus said that Mary chose better, that what she chose was the better thing. So this comes into play, this point. Start cheating your schedule, moms. Investing in your relationship with Jesus now will make you a better mom later. Because there are going to be ministry things, good things, that are going to pull you away, pull at you, and pull you away from the best thing. And that's your relationship with Jesus. That is spending time listening to Him. That is spending time connecting with Him. That is spending time studying His Word. That is spending time in prayer. And we're going to talk more about that in a second. But get this idea of cheating your schedule. Because as a mom, you are busy. There is a lot of stuff going on. There are a lot of things that you are doing. And they're not bad things. And many of them are what we would even consider, these are ministry things. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But the point being that you need to invest in your relationship with Jesus now, because that's going to make you a better mom later. And we think it's the other way around. No, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to get them there. I need to be spending time with them. I need to take them over here. I need to make sure we're doing this. I need to make sure, okay, guys, we're going to get to this. We're going to get to that. Okay. And instead of going closer to Jesus, your ministry is pulling you away because you're on the other side and the kids are pulling. The family is pulling. And it's not a bad thing, but it's not the best thing. And that's what Jesus has called you to do as moms. It's called all of us to do. And like I said, it's going to make you a better mom later. It might be in a couple of years, a couple of weeks, a couple of minutes. I'm going to choke on my coffee, but it's good coffee. It was worth it. Excuse me. It's like my fancy mug. Anyway, so let me talk a little bit about the facts of family. And I'm not talking about how to make a family. I'm sure you all get that. We understand those facts. But I want to talk about some facts about your family. Things I understand and I know about your family that even if I've never met you before, I know this about your family. The first thing is that as a mom, and again, I'm talking to moms, but this applies to everybody. But moms, your family is your ministry. Your family is your ministry. As a mother, as a father, we have been called to minister to our family first. There's three big things. Your first thing is your relationship with Jesus. Your second thing is your relationship with your spouse. And then your third thing is your ministry to your family, to your kids. Jesus makes those three, the big three priorities. Everything else, like even serving in church, which we're going to talk about that in a couple more weeks in this series. But even serving in church isn't as important as your ministry to your family. So if you're giving up your family for the sake of doing something here, again, either quit now or wait a couple of weeks and then I'll tell you to quit. But the point is that your family is your ministry, and don't let anyone tell you different. And And I just say this because I've heard moms like, oh, all I am is a mom. All I am is a stay-at-home mom. What have I accomplished? I haven't done anything grand. I don't even have a big paycheck or a job. Your family is your ministry, and that is amazing. And don't let anybody tell you any different. The work you are doing with your kids matters. It is a big deal. And the impact you have is, it's Mother's Day, right? This is when we all start telling the stories about, oh, yeah, I remember my mom did this for me, and now it's all like... Because we remember, years later, you remember the things that your mom did for you and why that made you who you are today. So do not deny that fact. Do not miss that your family is your ministry. Okay? Everybody understand that? Do you get that? Moms, your family is your ministry. And that is an important, important thing. However, your ministry will pull you away from Jesus. That is the nature of ministry. That is the nature of doing, because eventually that pulls us away from Jesus. It's just part of the tension that we are always going to have to live with as human beings, because there's this idea of eventually we start thinking, well, I can do this. I can work. I can earn my way. And it misses God's grace. So your ministry will pull you away from Jesus. And it's just a fact. It just is. It's going to pull you away from your time with Jesus, because there's going to be so many good things that you want to do for your kids. They're not bad things, because your family is your ministry. You want to serve them, and you want to serve them, and you want to serve them. And before you know it, those kids are pulling, and they're pulling, and they're pulling. And your relationship with Jesus is like, I need to spend, but I've got to help. But I really want to, but I've got to get to this. But they need me now. And your ministry, which is a good thing, is going to pull you away from Jesus. It will. It's a fact. It happens. Church ministry can pull you and will pull you away from Jesus. And again, we'll talk about that in a couple more weeks in this series. Because ministry, this is important. I hope you all get this. Ministry is not a substitute for Jesus. I don't care how many hours you spend doing MC3 work. I don't care how many times you serve back in that hallway. I don't care how much time is put into what goes on here. And it might be spectacular. But if you are doing that as a way to get closer to God, you've missed it, because ministry is not a substitute for Jesus. The way to get closer to Jesus is to get closer to Jesus. Now, we're told to serve. Don't miss this. We're supposed to minister. It's all important. But you just can't. It's not a substitute for Jesus, for spending time with him, for relating to him. And so don't buy that excuse. I have a note there. Talked about that. Oh, yeah. This idea of cheating your schedule. See, your family is your ministry, and your ministry will pull you away from Jesus. And I don't want you to miss this. I think a lot of times we assume that ministry is that relationship with Jesus. Well, I'm serving, so that's good. I'm leading worship. I'm part of the band. So I'm teaching up front. I'm the pastor of the church. So come on, I'm doing some ministry here, so I must be closer to Jesus. And if that is the mentality, then we've missed it. Don't buy the excuse. Don't buy the excuse, moms, to think, well, I'm serving my kids, so therefore I must be closer to Jesus. Because it's not a substitute. It's not the same thing. And the issue is that our schedules prove that. Because Martha was busy doing ministry. She was doing a good thing. Her calendar was full. She was being pulled away by doing a good thing, by spending time serving and preparing and ministering and deaconessing for Jesus. And Jesus says that Mary is doing the better thing, because she's just sitting and listening. She's developing her relationship with me. And that's the thing. Our calendars get so full of ministry, of doing good things. And I totally understand that you're like, well, you don't understand. I know. But it doesn't change the fact that you can't just do lots of good things for your kids and make your schedule extra, extra full for them in terms of calling it ministry, which it is, and say that that's good enough to be closer to Jesus, because it's not. The way you develop a relationship with Jesus is spending time developing a relationship with Jesus. The way you do the better thing is by being with Jesus, by sitting at his feet, by listening to him. It's not a bad thing, ministering, but it will pull you away from Jesus. And you know, our culture, and we're going to talk more about this next week. But culture tells us, you know, oh, you need to spend more time with your kids. Do more with your kids. Do a lot. I mean, come on, they need to be in a practice every night of the week for all the six different things they're involved in. And then a rehearsal and then lessons and all this stuff. Because you want to make them better people, more rounded. So make sure they're really busy right now. Make sure you're really busy. And mom, don't you love your kids? Why aren't you out every night with them, taking them place to place? What? Why don't you care about them? Don't you love me, mom? That's where culture says it's important to be busy, to do all these things. And not just busy, like this well-rounded kid idea. And making sure that they're the best at this and the best at that and the best at the other thing. And I got to tell you something. You're not going to have a kid that's best at everything. It's impossible. Your kid is going to suck at some stuff. And you're going to have to get over it. That's just the way we are. Jesus, I mean, this, the church. There are some things in serving in the church that you're going to suck at because you're not gifted for that. There are some things that you are gifted for that you're going to excel. And that's what Jesus talks about when he talks about spiritual gifts. That we don't all have the same gifts. We all have different parts. And we all do different things. It's the same thing with your abilities, with your kids' abilities. They're not going to be able to do everything great. So we're trying to fight this culture that says, make them involved in everything. And you think, well, it's ministry. Don't I love my kids? Ah, it's a good thing. I want to serve. I don't want them to be unhappy. I want them to have everything that they need. I want to provide for them. I'm going to work those extra hours because they need those shoes or that outfit or that game. Because culture says, do that. If you don't do that, then you obviously don't love your kids. And that's the push. And I want to tell you what we learned last week. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because these days are evil. If we let culture determine how we're going to live, it's not going to work. So don't get sucked up into that, because your ministry will pull you away from Jesus. And of course, Jesus is more important. Yes. Are you saying that Jesus is more important than my kids? Yes, I am. Well, Jesus is more important. Please listen to me. You're going to want to say, no, but I'm a mother. I have that maternal instinct. I love my children. Good. Love your children. Serve them. Minister to them. But don't get that they are more important than Jesus. Because let me tell you something else, too. And am I allowed to talk about Jack's little thing the other night? Did I say that? With him crying in the night, late at night? Okay. So we're watching Doctor Who. We're hooked on it now. And Jack comes downstairs in tears, out of bed. And we're like, what is wrong? And of course, he's like, what did you say? I don't care, go to bed. Like, that's my paternal instinct. Just shut up and get to bed. Kendra's like, what's wrong, baby? So after, like, I don't know, probably 5 minutes of her trying to translate through the cries, we get this, right? That Jack was thinking about the future and how he's going to move out and marry somebody someday, and he doesn't want to leave his mom. So he's crying about that, right? Can I just give you, oh, that's so sweet. Your kids are moving out. They're leaving you. They're going to be gone. That's the way God intended. That's the plan. We're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks, too. We're talking about all of it. It's like everything in this series. But the point is that if you're investing all of your time in your relationship with your kids, what do you do when they're gone? You got nothing. Because Jesus is more important. So let me share some things. We talk about, you know, this idea that it's going to be better later. Let me give you some reasons why Jesus is more important. These are just my quick takes. Whether that's that investment now is going to make a difference in 10 minutes or in 10 years, here's some reasons why. It's not on the screen, just from me. First of all, spending time with Jesus. If you are investing in your time with Jesus now, if you're making sure that your calendar is not as full with stuff for your kids, with ministry, and more and fuller with better things, which is time with Jesus, which is time with Him, one of the things is you're going to have a better attitude and perspective. And this is humanity. This is who we are. We are sinful by birth. Everything we choose on our own is awful. We're not going to make the right decisions. Apart from Jesus working in us, everything is going to be awful. That's our perspective. And I tell you this, man, you could like track my time with God, my prayer time, my study time, based on my attitude. You totally can see it. Now my wife is totally able to call me out on that, and she knows it. But it's like, I mean, if I'm not spending time with God that day, and somebody calls and then hangs up, I'm like, oh, who was that? I don't know who that person was. Probably it's like a wrong number from Toledo or something like that. But I'm like, they must be someone that they're mad about something. They're probably leaving the church. Oh man, I can't even handle this. Get away from me, kids, because someone's leaving the church from Toledo. And like, you know, I get all upset. And it's like, what the heck is up with my perspective? Oh, you didn't have time with God today. And I'm not saying it's like some magic rabbit's foot thing. Please don't miss that. But it changes your perspective when you're like, you know what? God's in control. God's got this. Your family is in God's hands. Your kids are in God's hands. And when we spend time developing a relationship with Him, man, it's going to change your attitude and your perspective. And I tell you that, moms, please listen to that. And everybody else in here, listen to that too, because ain't mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? You know what I'm talking about? So if you want mama to be happier, we'll get to that in a second. So better attitude and better perspective. You spend time with Jesus, you're also going to make better parenting decisions. You don't need to read 6 more books on parenting. Instead, spend time with Jesus. Read His book on parenting. You're going to make better parenting decisions. When you become more and more like Jesus, you are going to be a better parent. And when you become a better parent because of who you are, you're going to raise better kids. And your kids are going to have more success. I mean, I'm not saying this, again, it's not a magic rabbit's foot kind of thing. Rub it and everything's going to be all right. But as you develop your relationship with Jesus, you're going to be doing things. You're going to be making decisions instead of like, well, will my kids' friends like that? Well, if they will like that, then I'm going for it. Maybe you'll make decisions that says, is this what Jesus would want me to do with my kids? Or maybe you would ask, is this the wise thing to do? And maybe you say no to your kids about something that otherwise you would have said yes to. And again, we'll come back to that idea next week. So another reason why it's Jesus is more important. You will make better personal decisions. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you are growing in your relationship with Jesus, when you know more about who He is, when you love Him more, when you're sitting at His feet listening to Him, you will become a better person. And let me tell you what, your kids watch and learn way more by what you do than by what you say. So if you want to become a better parent, don't learn about all the techniques. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the techniques aren't going to change as much as you. If you are growing in your relationship with Jesus, your kids are going to want to see, they're going to see it. There's going to be something about that that's going to change. And again, it's not a good luck charm, not a fix-all. But in general, your relationship with Jesus grows, you're going to make better parenting decisions. You're going to be a better person. And therefore, your kids are going to see a better example. And then finally, the other reason is that, and this is just 4. There's probably more than this too. But it's going to give you a better prayer time. And we did a series back in November, October, called Wireless, and all about prayer. And prayer is simply talking to God. And let me tell you what, I don't know how all this works. But I know when there's a need, when there's a worry, when there's a fear, when there's an issue in my life, in my kids' life, in the church, whatever it may be, when I pray about it, changes my perspective. And dude, God does some things too. And I don't get how that works. I don't know why God would care what I have to say. But, you know, if you're coming through an issue and you're like, oh, I'm really concerned about this with my kid, then pray about it. Watch what God does. If you're concerned about whether this is the right choice or not, is this the wise thing to do, pray about it. Let God lead you. Because if you're investing in your relationship with Jesus, it's going to affect all of these things because Jesus is more important than doing the ministry of family. It's good, but Jesus is better. Jesus is the best thing. So, start cheating your schedule. Investing in your relationship with Jesus now will make you a better mom later. The schedule thing, it's going to get full. It's going to get full. And I know there's so many things. There's practices. There's school. There's driving them to this place. There's homeschooling. There's taking them to these events. There's making sure they're at church. Making sure they're dressed. Making sure they're clean. We rebuilt a fence over these last 2 days in our yard. We had a chain link. We put up pickets. It's kind of nice. And the kids were helping. They were awesome. They were so good, such good helpers. And at one point, they were kind of taking a break. And as my sons are, as you look over at them, they're in the middle of the yard, and they're wrestling. And, like, wrestling is so stupid. Some of you guys, we all need to, like, have a talk. with our kids about what wrestling really is, because he's like kicking his brother in the side. I'm like, that's not wrestling, that's kicking him in the side. But anyway, but they're rolling all around in the grass, and a little bit later, I'm moving some of the wood for the fence, and I see that one of the piles of dogweed. Now, usually we clean it up, but the dog, you know, comes out and does his thing every once in a while, and we missed one. And it's like splattered. And it's splattered, okay? And they had been done wrestling, oh, an hour and a half earlier. And I said, oh, guys, one of you rolled in dog poop. One of you rolled, and Tommy goes, oh, that was me, but that was the second time. I did it earlier, too. Like, didn't even care. Just going on. So, I mean, I don't know why I'm saying this. It's something about something. Cleaning, keeping him clean. Oh, yeah, parents need to help keeping their kids clean. That's what it was. So all that to say that the calendar, the busyness thing, is not as important as investing in your relationship with Jesus now. Find the time. Fit it into your calendar. Do whatever it takes. So the rest of you in this room, how do we help? How do we help mom? How do we do this? Because it is, and I'm talking to you because I don't know this, right? I understand that. But I do understand that my wife, and my friends' wives, the moms that I know, you, are busy. And they're good things, and there's a lot going on. And just as soon as you think you've got it under control, something else pops up. I mean, generally that's an ER visit. I don't know why, but that seems to be what happens. But how do we help? For the rest of us that aren't moms, and moms listen to this too, certainly, but how do we help mom? I want to give you three quick things, and they rhyme because it's awesome. The first thing is gratitude. If you're in this room and you want to help the mom in your life, whether that's your spouse, whether that's your physical mom because you're in the home, whether it's just your mom and you want to help her do her thing, whatever, it's a friend, whatever, how do we help them? The first thing is gratitude. And we need to understand what she does. And, I mean, just hang out online today. I'm sure you'll see like 15 or 20, you know, really mushy, lovely mom videos. We did the comedy thing. We're not mushy or lovely, sorry. Videos posted on Facebook about how mom is so wonderful and does all these wonderful things for us. And it's so true. It's so true. And some of us just need to step up and give props. Like, respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Just give them what they deserve. Give them the gratitude. Husbands, say to your wives, to the mothers of your children, thank you for busting your butt to do what you do to raise our kids. To be a part of that. We're going to talk about dads in a couple weeks, so dads are definitely part of the equation here. But just gratitude, just this idea of saying, hey, what you do matters. What you do is important. I understand it's hard, and sometimes that is a huge thing. I don't want to just be stuck with, you know, please don't end it there. Don't be just like, oh, thank you. All right, good. I'm good for the next year. I don't have to do anything. I said, thanks. Don't let that be your cop-out. But just that idea of giving, of showing gratitude for all the hard work that goes into being a mom. All the countless decisions, all the time that is put into it. Whether that's a stay-at-home mom, whether that's a working mom, whether that's a mom that has split custody. I mean, all these things. There's so much that goes into being a mom. And the rest of us just need to say thank you and appreciate what they do because it is hard, hard work. The second thing is how do we help mom? If it's important to invest in your relationship with Jesus now. Second thing is an attitude. Because I think we need to have the right attitude for moms. Not just thankfulness, not just a gratitude kind of thing, but an attitude that says, how can I help? Focusing on her needs. Okay, what do you need? Because, I don't know, I mean, it's culture, I'm sure. I'm sure this is attitude of like, especially, you know, guys work, moms at home, whatever. You come in and expect dinner to be served and everything to be done for you. And we just, I think she's going to have an attitude that says, how can I help you, mom of my kids? What can I do for you so that you can invest in your relationship with Jesus? You know, how are you doing? Do we even ask those questions? Have you had time in the last year to just spend in prayer, in solitude where you weren't sitting on the toilet? And I mean, I've heard that, like, oh, that's a great time to get away with God. And that's cool and all, but, dude, unless you took my advice last week on how to cheat at a cough, you're probably not going to spend enough time on the toilet to really accomplish developing your relationship with Jesus. If that's a problem, go with the laxatives, down the box. You'll be good to go for at least that day. but you'll regret the rest of that for a long time. But anyway, the point is that as our attitude as people that are coming alongside the moms needs to be, how can we help? What can we do to help you develop your relationship with Jesus? What do you need? And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing this week in Prime Groups is kind of keying in on that question. For everybody that's not a mom, I mean, do you have the guts to go home today and say, what can I do to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Not, what can I do to help you do the dishes or manage your schedule or any of that? Because that stuff is good, but that's not the most important thing. Making sure that the kids get to all the practices, that's good. But the most important thing is the relationship with Jesus. So the question really should be, how can I help you grow in your relationship with Jesus? How can I help you have time to grow in your relationship with Jesus? That attitude that says, I want to focus on your needs. I want to focus on what can I do for you? And it doesn't have to be drastic. All right, I'm quitting my job so you can spend the next week in prayer. Like, that might be cool, I guess. But maybe there's just little things. Maybe it's just something little. And again, I think a lot of that just comes to this attitude of saying, how can I help? Of being able, being willing to be gutsy enough to ask the hard questions. Because the hard decisions now will benefit you later. If your wife, if your spouse, if the mother of your children is investing in her relationship with Jesus now, she is going to be a better parent, maybe even an hour after she spends time with Jesus. Maybe even in the next 10 days, the next week. Because that Jesus relationship is the best thing. It's more important than the ministry of being a mom. And then the last thing, so we've got gratitude, attitude, and then latitude. Not only, it doesn't just help to say, how can I help? I care about your needs. If you say it like that, they'll probably laugh at you away. But give them the space to do it. And we're going to talk about a lot of these different issues over the next few weeks. But just this idea of saying, if I'm going to ask you, how can I help you spend time developing your relationship with Jesus? Maybe that means that once a week you cover everything with the meal, so as soon as the meal's over, she goes off. Maybe that means you get up extra early to get the kids dressed so that she can spend time with God. Maybe that means you don't go out with the guys, instead stay home with the kids so she can go get out with Jesus. Maybe that means, you know, any of those things. Maybe there's a lot of different ways, but give her the space that she needs. And I say this not just to spouses and to men, but also to kids. And the kids are talking about that ignition right now. How can you help your mom grow in her relationship with Jesus? What can we do? And there's so many things. If we can just, don't start with like 3 hours. Maybe if you could just give mom 5 minutes a day to spend time with Jesus, just to start, I'm sure they would appreciate that. Maybe 10, I don't know. But you need to ask that question. You need to have that attitude that says, how can I help? And then give them the latitude. Give them the space to do it. Suck it up and do some things that might be harder for the sake of later. Suck it up and make the right choices now that will benefit you later. Because if the mother of your children is growing in her relationship with Jesus, ain't nobody going to be able to stop her. She's going to be the best mom that you will ever know. And I'm serious about that. Like, that is so important. I don't care how talented they are, or how much money the paycheck is, or how many things they can teach their kids to do, or how many things they can balance at one time on the schedule. The relationship with Jesus is the best thing. And that's what's going to make a difference. So moms, thank you. Thank you all for what you do. Thank you for your hard work. And I want to just thank you for taking the time to invest in your relationship with Jesus. Ministry is a good thing. Your family is a good thing. Martha was doing service. But there are things, your family, your kids, are going to keep pulling you away. And you need to focus on your relationship with Jesus. Invest in that. That's going to make you a better mom than any self-help book, any amount of practices that you take your kids to, any amount of money that comes home in your paycheck. Your relationship with Jesus is what matters the most. And the rest of you in this room, do everything you can to help them, do that. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you just for clarifying an issue. As we look at this thing that Martha was doing a good thing. She was serving. She was doing what you've called us to do. And yet Mary did something better. She was developing a relationship with you. She was spending time with you. I pray that you would whatever needs to be done, God, you would encourage the moms here for doing their ministry, for doing whatever it is they do, because it is such an amazing ministry, and it's something that no one else can be. There is no one on this planet that can be the mom of their children. And so I pray that you would just encourage them for what they're doing, but then even go on the next step, from that good thing to the better thing. Help them to see the importance and to take the time to invest in their relationship with you, because that's going to make them a better mom later. And I pray for the rest of us in the room, the non-moms here, that we can do everything to help our moms, to help the moms in our lives grow in their relationship with you. Help us to be bold enough, to be gutsy enough to ask the hard question about how can we help, and then take the extra effort, the step to do it, knowing that it's going to matter for later. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your grace when we fail. Thank you for just being so awesome and for putting the moms in our lives to raise us, to bring us to where we are today. We love you, Jesus, because you gave us them, and we thank you for that. It's in his name we pray. Amen.